chapter number 9. Mark chapter number 9. I'd love to go back and preach some more on the rivers, plural. I think those rivers are very immeasurable. Can't measure them.
Right.
I forget what the number of how many billions of gallons of water go over the Niagara Falls every day. That's a lot. And I thought one day, well, that's just like the peace of God is coming out.
Sir.
Can you measure it? Mm-hmm. No, you can't. And I had been to a party one night several years ago, and I'm going to tell you this, I got it on my heart, and then I'm going to preach. And out of all the things we could have done the next morning, it was a Sunday morning, we'd been out all night Saturday night. We went to church. And we went to a buddy of mine's church, his dad was the pastor. He was just an old mountain preacher that had a King James Bible and a love for God, humble as dirt. And he preached out of John 4 that morning. I'll never forget it. He's talking about that living water on the inside. I thought I had it, but I didn't. And he told us about they found a spring in his backyard one time. Said he got to noticing that water just kept bubbling up, bubbling up, bubbling up. He just kept saying it over and over again. It just bubbles up. And he'd say things like, the peace of God, it just bubbles up. I couldn't tell you where it's coming from, but all I know is it's coming.
Amen, sir.
So we didn't want to stop that spring up, so we fixed it up and started getting our water out of it. I walked out of the service that morning scratching my head. Maybe a year later or so, I got born again, saved.
Amen.
And I seen him about 6 months after I got saved. And I went to him and I said, Brother Wayne, I said, I love you and I want to thank you for preaching to me when I was lost, man. You probably don't remember us coming in all hungover, been partying out. It's your church service that morning. And I told him, I said, you talked about a spring in your backyard y'all found and it just kept bubbling up and bubbling up. You compared it to being saved. I said, I left out of there scratching my head. I looked at him and I said, but you're right. It does.
That's right, I like it, brother. It's good.
I can't really, really see it with my eyes necessarily where it's all coming from, but I know where it's coming from. It's coming from God.
Amen.
You can't manufacture spirituality.
That's right.
You can't manufacture salvation.
That's right.
We complicated it so much. People sit and listen to us talk and listen to us preach, and they leave out more confused than they were when they came in. It's just simple as this. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Simple, simple, simple. And we Baptists ought to be shouting tonight that it's that simple.
That's
right. Amen. Is it that simple? Absolutely, it's that simple. Well, Brother John, you don't understand how complicated my life is. The next young person that I hear make the statement, my life is complicated, I'm probably going to throw up. Let me simplify it for you. You're a sinner.
That's right.
You're going to hell.
That's right.
Jesus died on the cross for our sins and the sins of the whole world.
Right.
3 days later, he arose from the grave, ascended to the throne with his Father, seated on the right hand of God, the blood's on the mercy seat, and anybody that'll repent and believe the gospel can be born again. Well, Brother John, how will I know? And I preached my testimony. And I just feel led to say this. I preached my testimony and I've told my children, and if we're not careful, we're going to get people looking for a lightning bolt or thunder.
Right. That's right.
It's the sweet, 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 still small voice.
Yes, sir.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
I was preaching up for I think it was after Brother Tim Rutherford passed away. I was preaching up there one night. There was a lady there. She had struggled. She is one of those that, and I don't understand this. I don't think I'm being critical. If I am, don't hold it against me. She's one of those ones that just couldn't never get a hold of it. Y'all pray for me. I'm lost. Years and years and years. I'm lost. I'd tell her to get saved. Oh, and I appreciate her being honest. And I'll never forget it. One night I was up there preaching, and I gave this simple illustration. I said, now look, you ain't going to get saved if you submit to his will.
That's right.
That's as simple as that.
Oh, that's good, brother. That's good.
Submit to his will.
Good.
See, it's kind of like this. When I asked my wife if I could court her, I felt like I was going to get married. We did end up, but we wasn't married. You two are courting, but y'all ain't married. I guess you're courting, ain't you? Is that a fifth? Can I say that? Y'all ain't. Y'all sure ain't doing a good job of hiding it, amen? And we wasn't married yet. I asked her. I said, I went to her daddy, and I said, I want to marry your daughter. He gave me permission to marry his daughter. And I got on my knees. I asked her. I said, will you marry me? She said, yes. We still wasn't married yet. Come down to rehearsal time. We had the rehearsal. Still wasn't married. Wasn't married. We got to the wedding day. I was standing on the platform with the best man and the groomsmen and the bridesmaids and all that. They opened up the back door and started playing that wedding march. My beautiful, beautiful bride in that beautiful white dress came through the back door, and I mean, I couldn't help it, but tears started coming out of my eyes. Why would God bless me with such a precious bride? But Brother Tim, we still wasn't married yet. And the preacher came down and said, who takes this woman to be thy, or who gives it, and all that, everything. And brother, that preacher looked at me first, and he said, do you, wilt thou, have, hold, cherish, love, sickness, health, all that. I said, I will. I do. Guess what? Now, I don't want to bust nobody's bubble or nothing. If you believe different than what I'm fixing to preach, that's fine with me. If you believe the wedding's consummated on the honeymoon, that's you can believe that. I don't.
God forbid. No, God forbid.
No, marriage is a covenant.
Amen. Yes, sir. Right? Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And when I said I will, we still wasn't married yet. But when that pastor looked at my bride-to-be and said, do you take this man? And when she said, I will, not when you kiss the bride.
No, that's right, brother.
When she said, I will.
Covenant, amen.
Right then, right there, we were married.
That's it.
God the Father. Before the world ever was, in the triune council of God, said, I will.
That's right. That's
God the Father, and God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost standing over Adam. Maybe God the Father said something like this. You know what he's going to do? Maybe the Holy Spirit said, yes, he's going to plunge the whole human race into sin. And about that time, Jesus stepped forward and said, I will. Go ahead and breathe in him. I'll die for him.
I like it.
We still wasn't saved yet. 2,000 years ago, Jesus died on the cross.
Right.
Yeah. Resurrected. He said, I will again. God the Father already said, I will. God the Son said, I will. When the Holy Spirit came to me that night, dealt with me, he said, I will. But it wasn't until I said,
that's right.
I will.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
Neighbor, when those two wills come together.
That's you. Amen, brother.
Y'all picking up what I'm putting down tonight?
Amen. That's right.
Preach on.
Uh-huh. Brother, what are you saying? I said, God's already said it, saved you.
That's right.
He's already said, I will.
That's right.
He's waiting on you to make it.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen to God. Well, whether you like it or not, that's the truth of the matter.
That's it, yes.
You mean it's as simple as that? Absolutely. Absolutely. You never submit to his will, the wills will never come together. Mark chapter number 9. Let's stand in reverence to the reading of the Word of God tonight. I'm going to do my best to be quick. Get out of Preacher McVeigh's way. Verse 14. The Bible said, when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them. Oh, what I didn't want to miss that lady up there, Brother Daniels, where I was preaching. And I gave that illustration. Brother, not because I done it. But when I gave that illustration that night, the light switch came on in that woman's. You could see it in her countenance. Mm-hmm. And she stood up. She didn't say nothing to nobody. She stood up, went to the altar. She said, I will. Brother, that woman ain't been the same since.
I like it, brother.
Yeah.
Good
Simple
stuff.
Simple as that.
I like it, brother.
Simple as that. Well, there you go. I'd like to preach on salvation tonight, but
amen.
I've got this on my heart. And you can't never tell if you need to. And you do. I mean, we make statements like this all the time. If you need to do, you do need to do business.
That's right.
If you, yes, we all need to.
That's right.
I made God a promise years ago. God, if you deal with it, I'll deal with it.
Amen.
Right. Amen.
Amen.
You pointed out my life is done with. I'm over. God's wanting you to be saved tonight. He'll save you. Sometimes I wonder about these people that spend 20 and 30 years. I'm lost. And they brag on it like they're proud of it.
Yeah.
Right.
Being lost ain't nothing to be proud of.
Right. Right.
Nothing to brag about. Is that the kind of attention you want?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a good point.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
That's
right.
I do not know. I mean, I'm confident that you're well acquainted enough with your Bible, and you're listening to your pastors and these good men of God that handle the Word of God. That ought not be the case with you. God's not going to show you you're lost and then make you wait 50 years before He'll save you.
That's exactly right.
That's right.
But I tell you, when God shines light in our darkness and on your darkness, you can be saved right then.
Amen.
And right there.
Amen.
That might be too simple for some, but that's the truth.
Amen.
Amen. Well, it's a serious thing now.
Yes, sir.
Verse number 14, the Bible said when he came to his disciples, and I'm going to change directions big time right here, but it's I really believe God's troubling the waters, somebody's soul tonight.
Come on.
And there's already been enough said. You've heard the gospel your whole life. You could probably get up and preach a gospel message better than I could. You've got the verses memorized. You've been down the Romans road. You've been by the Ephesians bypass. You've been all that. You got all of it. You know it. You know it. But yet, just like Fanny Crosby, thank you for saying that. You can't hold the world in one hand and God in the other.
That's right. Right.
Oh, sir.
It's a choice you'll have to make. But let me try to preach what I really had on my heart coming in the building tonight. And when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them and the scribes questioning with them. And straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed and running to him, saluted him. And he asked the scribes, what question ye with them? One of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. Now, nobody say amen too loud right there. Wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth, and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away, and they spake, and I spake to thy disciples, and they should cast him out. But watch this next phrase, and they could not. Boy, that's four of the saddest words you'll ever read in your Bible, and they could not. They had the power to do it, but for some reason they couldn't. And he answered and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. They brought him unto him, and when they saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. And oftentimes it cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. I love this. And straightway the father of the child cried out with all the sincerity and all the honesty. Here's what he said with tears. Lord, I believe. Mm-hmm. Help thou mine.
Amen.
Fathers, we bow in your presence. I pray that you'd help me to preach tonight and say everything you want said. I sense you working in somebody's heart, particularly about the saving grace of God. I pray that they would submit to you, repent, believe the gospel, and be born again. I pray that sin would get repulsive to them.
Right.
Exceeding sinful. Show them how wicked they are. Lord, I'm doing my best to mind you with the call of God, the evangelism that's in my heart. Lord, I don't know what's going to take place tonight, but if it's going to get done, you're going to have to be the one to do it. And I cast the care of this service on you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You can be seated tonight. Again tonight, I believe the Lord would have me to preach a little bit on the home. And I like this phrase, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. And to my shame, I identify with this man.
Amen.
I believe, help thou mine unbelief. Context is that of a parent that needs help with a child. I want to preach on this simple subject tonight, believing your way through your own unbelief concerning your children. You know, we believe God for everything, don't we? We've believed him to send the money in to pay the bills. We've believed him to put tires on our cars. We have believed God to send revival to this church and that church. We have believed God to send us the right man. We have believed God for salvation. There, those of us that are saved, there was a time in our life when we put our faith in Jesus Christ, lock, stock, and barrel, and everything his word said about him, to the point that we cast the care of our eternal destiny on him, and we put our faith in Christ, on Christ, toward Christ, and we were saved, and we believed God in it, and the fruits of righteousness are in our heart, the fruit of the Spirit's in our life. We believe God to save everybody else's children. We believe God to save anybody else's prodigals. But neighbor, this point in our life, we struggle when it comes to seeing God do something in our own child's life. Can I get an amen right
there? Come on, amen to that.
As a preacher, I can get up and I can, man, preach, and the little boys and the little girls and the teenagers, they'll come to the altar and they'll call on God. We've seen them saved down through the years, and I have no problem. I really believe that if somebody would just say yes to Jesus, you could be saved tonight. But you keep saying no, and you keep saying no, and you keep pushing him off and rebelling. Hey, you'll end up in hell.
Right.
But I believe with all my heart, all my heart, that you could be saved tonight.
I believe that.
I believe, and I don't pat me on the back, I believe with all my heart God could send revival to Mocksville, North Carolina through this particular church and this group of people. If I did not believe that, I would take my Bible, shut it, go home, pick my chainsaw, and go back to work. Never. I believe that!
Yes,
well, where I struggle is God doing a work in my three. I can believe him for everything and everybody else. Am I being too honest?
No, sir.
Why in the world did this guy, why do we struggle believing that God could do a work in our children's lives? Why is it? It might be because we know him too well. Mm-hmm. I mean, this guy had seen firsthand what the devil had been doing to his son. I've heard some of your testimonies, and I've heard how wicked you was, and I heard about the drugs, and I heard about the rebellion, and all I can do is hear about it. I never went
witnessed it with my own eyes how bad off some of you really were. But your mom and daddy did. And they seen how wicked you was. And they knew you better than anybody else did. And they sit back with a question in their mind. Can God, will God ever do a work in my child's heart? Maybe it's not only because everything they knew too much or so much about them, rather, but it might be because when we see our own children, it's like looking in a mirror.
That's it.
Well, wait a minute. Let's back up here.
God
saved you, didn't he?
Amen.
And let's just be honest. Some of us first generation Christians in our home, we forget what we used to be. We forget how, and your child's not living they're going to the same hell, but they're not walking the streets like you were. And yet we see ourselves, and boy, with a very proud attitude, we deal with it. But how are we going to struggle? How are we going to get through this, believing our way through our own unbelief? First of all, we're going to have to deal with the problem. The problem has got to be dealt with.
Yes, sir.
Have you ever heard the phrase, the elephant in the room? I'm against that phrase. I'm against elephants in the room. I don't like it. I'm against dogs in the house. Say amen right there, but an elephant?
All right.
In the room? Brother, that's not right. That's why we're not having revival. People don't deal with issues. That's why your children ain't getting no help from God. The problem has got to be dealt with. It was a faith problem on the behalf of the parent. You're going to have to get along with God and ask God. I asked him. It don't matter to me how you feel about it, but I ask God every day to increase my faith.
Yes, sir.
I ask God every day to help me to believe him.
Yes, sir.
Lead me to believe him. Teach me to believe him. God, I want to. Help me to believe you. I ask him every day. It's a faith problem. Amen. You got to believe God's able to do exceeding abundant above all that we can ask or think.
That's right.
Faith. This is a health, well, doctrine I'm preaching. This is a Bible doctrine. The just shall live by faith. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. If you want wisdom, if any man like wisdom, let him ask of God. But let him ask in faith. And when's the last time you went to God and said, God, give me wisdom?
Right.
Lord, help my unbelief.
Yes, sir.
I need your wisdom. It's a faith problem. Do you believe God? Whether ever does it or not. I think about David often as he had sinned against Uriah, sinned against God, and he's in there praying and fasting, and somebody comes to him while that child that got born out of adultery is sick and dying. David's in there praying. They're kind of wondering why he's doing it. David, I can't quote him, forgive me for that, but in essence he says, who can tell what God will do?
That's right.
By faith. At his best, backslid. Out of God's will, sin. He still believed God.
Amen. So good, brother.
Boy, you got to have faith that God will save your child and touch your child and help your child.
Amen.
Well, when I think about believing God, I like to go to Mark chapter number 5, where Jesus went into Jairus' house and he kicked everybody out that didn't believe. They laughed him to scorn.
Yes, sir.
Brethren, we preach that little girl was dead, but she wasn't dead. Jesus said she was just sleeping.
Right.
He goes in and wakes her up. Takes Peter with him. He's the preacher. Takes John with him. He's got a love for God. Takes old James with him. James knew how to pray. That's the kind of people God wanted in there.
That's right.
You want to see God do something in your life, get rid of everything in your life, everything in your home, everything in your mind, every bit of the thinking that's unbelieving toward God. That would mock God. And it's a faith problem. Deal with the problem. Deal with yourself. It was a flesh problem.
Verse number 18, the Bible said, he said, it taketh him and teareth him, and he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth and pineth away. It was a flesh problem. That's all this world is. Your child, my child, they got flesh. Oh, it must be nice to have children. That's right. Well, it is. The only reason they do it is because we make them.
That's right.
I mean, I appreciate you young ladies and the dresses down to the floor. I love that.
Amen,
your modesty is a blessing. But you're just as much flesh as anybody else.
Amen. That's right.
You ain't no use you walk around full of pride thinking you're God's gift to the church you're in, God's gift to your family. Flesh at your best. Flesh. It was a flesh problem. Not only was it a flesh problem, that's got to be dealt with. It was a finding problem. Finding the right person to help him, man. We look in the wrong places all the time, don't we? We go to everybody, but this man found Jesus and found out he's the only one that can help you. You can trust Jesus with your children, hey, man. You gotta find God, and boy, you gotta get along with God. Brother Sammy Allen was right. The key to the spirit-filled life is spending more time with God than you do anybody else. Find God.
Good.
Go to God on the behalf of your children. When was the last time you prayed to have God touch your children? I love it. My wife and I sometimes will get where there ain't nobody looking or watching, and we'll pray together. We'll ask the Lord, would you please touch our children? Boy, and when God goes to touching them.
Oh, I like it, brother.
Ain't it a blessing to know that God answered your prayer for your children?
Yes, sir.
That's big business. Hear me tonight and hear me well. The problem has got to be dealt with. This young man had a devil problem. The devil was running his life. The devil was controlling his life. The flesh was running his life, controlling his life. Everything and everybody but God had tried to do something for this youngin'. And it just kept getting worse and worse and worse. Now, there will be times, like the lady over there with Elisha, she had her husband build him a little room on the side of the house. She said, I've never had a child. And Elisha said, oh, well, we'll pray. And God gave her a baby boy. And one day the baby boy goes to work with dad. Baby boy goes to crying about his head. That uncaring dad sends that boy with another lad back to mama. And that boy died on that mother's lap. The closer she tried to get to him, the colder he got toward her. Have you ever tried to get close to your child, and when you did, they got cold toward you?
Oh, come on. Yes, sir.
Buddy, only God can fix that problem. You got to find God. Then deal with the problem. Deal with it. But number two tonight, whatever you do, don't get too many people involved. I mean, watch this. Bible said in verse number 15, and straightway all the people. Verse number 16, and he asked the scribes, plural. Verse 17, one of the multitude. Verse 18, and I spake to thy disciples. They could not. I'm not against godly counsel. I'm not against asking good advice. I'm not opposed to sitting, I got a problem in my life. I'm not opposed to asking men that I've got confidence in. Brother, help me pray about this, but what would you do concerning any of these areas? But brother, I tell you, the more people you get involved in your problems, and the more people you get involved, especially with the problems of your children, I mean, you ask 10 different people their advice and 10 different people their opinion, and you're going to get 10 different opinions. You'll be more confused at the end of that. If we'd have just went to God to begin with.
Well, that's right. Yes, sir.
I'll never forget when God dealt with me about starting the Mount Carmel Baptist camp meeting. I was in Maryland preaching a revival meeting. And in that, it was a wicked environment. There was a man in the church. He's lost. Incest. Not just the father, with a daughter, but brothers and sisters, incest, wicked, wicked, wicked.
Right,
brother. Any boy that would want to kiss his sister, sick in the head.
That's right.
Say amen,
right?
That's right. And in the middle of all that trash, God told me to start the camp. Told me what to name. Orders from God.
Good.
So I called some of my buddies. Hey, brother, we're going to have a camp meeting in September. God told me to do it. That's a great idea, Brother John. What's the dates? We'll be there. Hey, brother, God told me to start a camp meeting. That's a great idea. Your confidence is building, right? Everybody, hey,
yeah,
man, that's
yeah,
good.
Come on.
Then about the third phone call, hey, brother, we're going to have a camp meeting. Brother John, that's the last thing we need is another camp meeting. Well, Lord, are you sure about this?
Right.
And I learned the hard way.
Right.
I learned the hard way. God ever speaks it. That's all that needs to be said.
That's all that's needed.
I know the atmosphere is a little bit different tonight. It's heavy in here, and it needs to be, but bless the Lord. You don't get everybody involved, especially with your children. It brings confusion.
That's right.
I don't know about your children, but if my children have got something going on in their life, and they come to me, and they pour their heart out to me, and I go blabbing my mouth about what's going on in their lives.
God forbid.
And they find out about it. They'll never trust me with nothing ever again.
That's right.
I love to swim. I still do. I'm almost 49 years old. If it's hot during the summer and I get near a river, I'm jumping in. Hey, man, with my clothes on, okay? Say amen right there.
Amen. Thank God.
Hey, man. And we love to swim. And I've raised my children. We go to the river, go to the lake, we swim. We don't go to the beach, we go to the coast. I've never been to Myrtle Beach since I've been saved, but I've been to Myrtle Coast a bunch, okay? That was funny, and you can laugh. I made a mistake with my children. We was going to play church. Did y'all ever play church with your children when you were growing up? We did. We'd play charismatic church, and I'd slay them in the spirit, and man, it was fun. I'd take all the cushions off the couch and I'd throw them on it. And man, we'd play charismatic church, but we never did play Baptist church because most of them's dead. Say amen, right? I'm a Baptist, right? But that we was gonna make fun of anybody who's gonna be the charismatics, right? And but we'd have fun. So one day I was in the river and I took all my children, every one of my, we're gonna have church, I'm baptizing you. So I grabbed them and I just played. I scared my children so bad that day in the water that it took them years to ever come near me in the water ever again. God let me go through that experience to teach me that I need to be a trustworthy parent. Can your children trust you with confidential information?
Good.
People, too many people involved, it brings confusion. But then, what about this? And I'm not going to labor this one, but there's a missing parent here. I don't see his mother anywhere. Now, she could have been at home praying, reading her Bible, taking care of her children, whatever. There's a missing parent here. It's lopsided. You know, it should have been mom and dad coming together. You know, it's hard enough to raise your children by yourself. I never had to do that. Thank God for that. But I preached to men that their wives took off and went crazy. Women, their husbands took off and went crazy. One of the saddest things I think I've ever seen, I seen it recently, a preacher friend of mine, his wife said, I'm tired of being a preacher's wife. I'm not doing this anymore. She left him, went back to the old her. She needs to be saved. And brother, she just, and there that man is, got two little beautiful baby boys, trying to raise them youngest by himself. And brother, they're sad. It's sad, but oh, the power of a unified man and a unified woman coming together in agreement, not fussing, not fighting, not divided, but a man and a wife raising
from the glory of God together.
Unified in doctrine. Unified in discipline. You know, there's no armor for the back and the whole armor of God anywhere. Right. Nothing for the back. It's awful. We keep the whole armor, chapter 6 of the book of Ephesians, in its context. That's a family setting. Coming right out of chapter number 5 into chapter number 6, it's the family. And that's mom and daddy wearing the whole armor of God. And daddy looking at mother, mother looking at daddy and saying, I know we ain't got no protection for the back, so I got your back.
Amen.
That's good.
That's good.
And the little children, God forbid they grow up, don't get saved for a long time, but they don't have the ability to put on any kind of armor. What do we do with them? Those of us in the home that have the ability to wear the armor of God, we put our whole armor on and we circle around the ones that aren't saved. We hold our shields of faith up and our sword of the Spirit. And we let those fiery darts hit our shield and we protect our children. And boy, you better pick up what I'm putting down. You leave your children out in the world and the tornado comes and they'll be playing out there in the yard. They'll end up dead. And I tell you, the devil wants your children. He wants your future. He wants these little boys and these little girls. He's going to come after them and he's going to throw them in the fire. And brother, he's going to do everything. Never, I don't care how high you build the wall.
That's right.
How much you pray.
That's right.
Ain't none of us any better than Job in here tonight.
That's right.
The devil came to Job's house. Temptation is going to find its way to your children. Could I at least get a head nod from you precious children that were raised by a good, godly, separated mom and dad?
Come on, brother.
Temptation found its way to your place,
didn't it? Rock destruction, too.
You had ways of reaching out to the world that your parents didn't know nothing about.
That's right. Sir. Come on.
Things took place in your life. You'd be ashamed tonight if your parents even knew they had. I asked Brother Raines, Brother Larry Raines, my hero. He was my pastor for several years. I asked him one time, I said, Brother, is there any way we can control what goes on in the minds of our children? He said, absolutely not, son. He said, but you can have a big part of what goes in them.
That's right.
It's serious business.
That's right.
You want your children going to hell without God? Well, it used to be they'd warn you, don't go to the Belk's or the JCPenney's, don't go to the mall. Be careful at the grocery stores. I'm against grocery shopping at Walmart. Why? How many of you women can go shop at Walmart and just get groceries? Amen or not?
It doesn't always all good.
Amen. But it was on sale. Yeah, I don't care if it was half off. And they'd be big, boy. They'd be, hey, the devil worshippers are still your children. I slit the throats and drank the blood. The only thing worse I could think of, my children's blood going down the throat of a devil worshipper. It's my children's blood dripping off my hands at the judgment seat of Christ.
Amen, brother. Come on.
Right. The missing parent here. Where's mom at? Should have been together. But then, nextly tonight, there's a lack of perception going on. Verse number 17. The Bible said, and one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. There is a serious lack of communication going on with this guy and his son. Well, that's where we miss it. We're too full of pride to sit down and listen to our children. I know a lot of times what they're going to say is immature, foolish. But if we don't take the time to listen to our children, on any subject, we will never find out what's going on in their hearts.
Right.
Amen. I mean, we want our children to be honest with us. It's a struggle of communication. At best, it wasn't nothing but a one-sided communication, and it was the parent being the only one doing the talking. I like for my children to open up to me.
Amen. I like it, brother.
I mean, I want my children to be up, no matter. I've taught my children, if I catch you doing something, it's going to be bad. You're going to be disciplined. They know that. That we've been there, done that. You do something you was told not to do, you get a whipping. And the reason God has us whip our children, not only to train them, but to teach them of the judgment of God. You can't do wrong to get by. You don't whip your children. You're not teaching them of God in the right way.
Right.
Every once in a while, all three of them would do something. Man, I'd be so. Somebody told me, don't whip your children when you're mad. I said, well, if I don't do that, I won't ever whip them. I wanted to teach them the discipline. But every once in a while, especially when all three of them get into something and they all three deserve the whipping. I love this. I'd take them in the bedroom and I'd say, all right, you've done this. I tell them to every time, this is why you're getting this is why you're getting a whipping. This is why. I didn't knowledge. You need to know why. That's part of training them.
Right.
And I'd whip them, and then I'd make them sit there for at least 30 minutes after the whipping. I'd go back. I'd sit them down in my lap when they were smaller. You know, and by the way, there comes a time, brethren, when our daughters are too big to sit in our laps anymore.
That's for sure, brother.
Can I get an amen right
there? That's for sure.
These 18 and 19-year-old girls sitting in her dad's lap.
God forbid, brother.
That ain't right.
God forbid, right.
You mean, yes, it happens.
Yeah.
And I'd sit them on my knee, and I'd pray and say, Lord, and I'd pray with them before the whipping. Lord, help me to not overdo it, not to underdo it. Help them to get out of this whipping what they need. And then after we're done, I would talk them, and I would make them every time. I'd make them thank me for whipping them. Every day. You don't like it, do you? You mean, yeah. You got something to say to me? Thank you for the whipping, Daddy. They didn't like it. And they did it because they had to. But every once in a while, every time God ever whooped me and I got through it, I thanked him for it.
That's right.
I'm 48 years old right now. My daddy come in this place, yanked his belt off, and it sounded like a machine gun going through his belt loops. Buddy, thank God for every whooping I ever got.
Amen.
But every once in a while, I'd line all three of them up. I'd take my belt off right in front of them. And I'd say, all right, put your hands on the bed, put your hands on the chair, where we was at. So I'm going to whip all three of you. And they'd turn around and they'd be shaking and trembling and crying. I'd take my belt and I'd put it back on. I'd get on both my knees.
That's right.
And I'd say, all right, children, turn around. And they'd turn around and I'd look at them and say, all y'all deserve a whipping. But today, I'm having mercy on you. Come here and give me a hug. And I not only taught them of the judgment of God, but I also taught them of the mercy and the grace of God. Don't matter to me whether you agree with that or not. That's how I've done it, all right? And brother, my children, they love me and they respect me. We're not a perfect family, but when the rubber meets the road, do like I have done in days gone by. One of my daughters said, there's a boy that's interested in me, Daddy, and I heard he's going to contact you and talk to you. You know what she said? She said, I don't want you just to say no this time, but would you please pray about it? All right. And you know what she told me? She said, I trust you, and I trust Mom.
Amen. I like you, brother.
You say he's no good for me, you will never hear another word out of me about him.
Amen.
Wow.
I like it.
Are we live streaming or recording this?
We're recording it.
Good. Yeah. I guess. I don't want to embarrass my children. And
I think you brought them honor, brother.
That's right.
That's exactly right. We need to have our children where they trust us.
Amen.
And you, the missing parent, it's a discommunication. Let me give you that. I got to get out of Brother Tim's way. We ain't always going to like or agree with what our children say to us.
Right.
But if it's said in the right spirit, I'm going to listen.
Right.
You don't smack your daughters. Beat them when they come and ask you why we don't wear britches.
That's right.
Right.
You don't throw a rock at them when they ask, why do we only use the King James Bible, Daddy?
Come on.
You don't get upset at them when they come and ask you questions, like, even though they've heard it preached and they've been taught and they want to talk to you about personally. Dad, I got friends I know, people we know, they go to these liberal contemporary churches. Why don't we do that? Seems like all the world, and I don't get mad and say, you stupid liberal. No!
That's right.
We answer the questions.
Right.
Answer them right.
That's good.
There needs to be communication. Amen. We need to find out what's going on in their hearts. We need to listen to their confessions. I taught my children, if you get caught, you're going to get in trouble. But if you get out into something, you're doing something ain't right, and you get under conviction, and you come to me,
amen,
and you confess it without me having to catch you, the discipline's not going to be near as severe.
Oh, no.
That's right.
When they come to us, you know, it's a crying shame that girls can't go to their mamas and say, Mom, I got a problem with lust.
Yes, sir, buddy.
That's right.
It's a shame.
It's a shame. Boy can't go to his daddy and say, Daddy, I'm struggling with lust.
It's a shame.
It's a crying shame that a child can't go to the parent and say, you know what, Dad, I seen some pictures and some videos I shouldn't have.
Hmm? Sure would help.
Yes, sir.
I want my children. It hurts.
That's right.
Us independent Baptists, we want our children to be perfect, don't we? Well, I got news for you.
Right.
Ain't none of them going to be perfect.
That's right.
But oh, that God would help us to keep a line of communication.
Amen.
That's right.
Do not be that unapproachable dad or mom.
God forbid.
We need to listen to them when they confess their sins. We need to listen to them and find out what's hurting them. What hurts you? What's going on in your life that's got you discouraged, got you depressed, got you defeated? What's the pain in your heart? Man, you've got to be careful with this one, okay? But Zach, that's your only child, right? The day's going to come. I hate to bust your bubble. But the day's going to come that she's just going to sit there and start crying. Don't ask what's wrong. Give that one to your bride. Your wife just sitting there crying. Women do that sometimes, don't they? They just sit there and cry. I'm not asking anymore ever again. Hawks, if you got half a brain and one eyeball, face time, just let them cry and be done with it. Because the time they get done telling you what's wrong, you help me, Jesus. But somebody, you know I'm telling, right?
You should
have. Amen. Thank you, man. We need to listen to when find out what hinders them. We need to listen and find out what helps them. I mean, it's amazing to me that the Bible said that it cast him in the fire and then oft times cast him in the fire and into the waters. The devil ain't trying to burn them up with lust. He's trying to drown them with deception. Verse 18, powerless preachers. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. Powerless preachers. What cuts the power off, brethren, more than anything? If you know something that does this any quicker, I want to know what it is, okay? Pride.
Uh-oh.
God gave them boys power over all devils and all diseases.
That's right.
And they got full of pride and they lost the touch of God in their lives.
About that.
When I started out as a young preacher, it was all about me. And one day I must have graduated that school because I said, you know what, it ain't about me anymore. It's all about the people now. And I ran with that for years. It ain't about me, it's about the people! And then one day, I realized it ain't about me. It ain't about the people. It's all about Him.
That's right.
Him. When you realize it's all about Him and we swallow our pride, do you realize that the most humble man that ever walked on this planet is the one who created it?
Amen. Good.
I mean, he humbled himself and became obedient to the death, even the death of the cross.
Amen.
Powerless preachers, our pride has robbed us of power. Verse 29, prayerless people. And when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could not we cast him out? And he said unto them, this kind come forth but nothing but by prayer and fasting. Often, daily, multiple times through the day, pray for your children.
Amen, brother.
Second time this revival meeting, God has led me to preach about a parent-child relationship.
Good, brother.
Fathers, we bind your presence. I pray you send great revival, Lord. If people need to come and respond to preaching tonight, then I pray you let them do it. I pray that you bless the pastor and the remainder of the service. In Jesus' name.
Amen, brother. It's good.
If you need to come, you come. God spoke to you about anything, you come right on.
Let me say this.
This couple's sitting here. Most sacred bond in her life, earthly. Anything that he does to weaken that bond, break that bond at all, keep a little secret, something like that, be the most stupid thing he could ever do. Because what he's asking is for that man to transfer that bond. I've met so many men, when they were courting a woman, broke that bond with their father.
That's right.
Broke it. I remember somewhere about 1982, 83, a young man working with me. Father was a pastor. He began shacking with this girl. She came from a good Baptist family. And I told him, if she'll play the whore on her daddy, you gotta believe it, she'll play the whore on you.
Exactly right.
Amen.
15 years later, that woman came to my wife and my door in tears. Because I hated when you said that. I'll play the whore on my husband. That bond with her father, absolute sacred. Each one of you girls, that bond with your father is absolute sacred.
Right.
Absolutely sacred. Sarah Bella sitting there next to Michael, that bond with their father, absolutely sacred. These two Ford girls, that bond with their father, absolutely sacred. If they begin to despise that man, woe unto the man they marry.
Sir, buddy.
Woe unto the man they marry.
Right.
Verse 73. Brother, I remember whenever I was talking to Amber, people may not agree with it, but I used to test my wife before we got married to see if she would ever speak a word against her father. She never did.
Amen.
My wife's been nothing been a blessing and a joy to me. As far as I know, I don't know if she's ever spoken one word against me. I've never, ever heard it. And I thank God for that.
Amen.
373.
Pass me not, O gentle Savior, hear my humble cry. While all others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Would I see thy face?